William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Duke Gets Even, a novel by Joanna Shoup. Performed by Kit Swan and Timothy Campbell. For my two girls, Sally and Claire, because they keep bugging me to dedicate another book to them. You're welcome.
Chapter 1. The sea, once it casts its spell, holds one in its net of wonder forever. Jacques-Yves Cousteau. Off the coast of Newport, Rhode Island, June 1895. Mermaids existed. At least Andrew Talbot, the 8th Duke of Lockwood, was fairly certain of it. At the moment, a creature with long limbs and red hair was most definitely splashing in the frothy waves near the beach. If not a mermaid, then a naiad, perhaps. Though he hated the ocean, he'd come out after dark to swim in the chilly, murky water of the Atlantic, his body requiring the bloody exercise. He hadn't expected to see anyone else. Who was out frolicking at this time of night, if not a mythical creature? Bare legs flashed in the surf. A shapely arm followed. He continued to tread water, unable to look away. Then a form rose up in the foam, and long red hair flipped backward. A woman. A naked woman. He was entranced. As if the moon pulled him toward her, he soon found himself in the surf too. The water reached his waist, and he watched her tumble and roll in the waves like a small child who'd been cooped up all day and finally had a taste of freedom. What did it feel like, such freedom? Lockwood had never experienced it, not truly. His life had been shaped and molded since birth. He was a line drawn on a family tree to future generations of the same. The weight of it all fell on his shoulders. The crumbling estates, the empty bank accounts, the judgment of long-dead ancestors. And there were days when he feared for his sanity. Not a soul would remember him unless he was the one who failed. A terrible legacy, that. A splash snapped him out of his dark thoughts. Saint's teeth, she was beautiful. In truth, he'd never seen a more captivating woman. The sight of her slim limbs, high breasts, and incredible hair wound through him like vines, expanding and twisting, strangling him until he had no choice but to dive under the cool water. When he resurfaced, she was there, directly behind him. Long arms twined around his neck, and she wrapped her legs around his hips. Bare flesh pressed soft and cool against his back.
"About time you arrived,"
her husky voice said in his ear, like a whisper of silk over his soul. He shivered. The right thing to do would be to let her go, to put his hands up and acknowledge the mistake. His title as a gentleman demanded it. But he was tired of always doing the right thing. Couldn't he act instead of think, feel for once instead of strategize? Heavy breasts rubbed on his shoulder blades, and despite the cold water his cock responded, thickening and rising against her calf. His problematic heart thumped behind his ribs, the beat echoing between his legs. He couldn't seem to move or speak, frozen by sensation. Perhaps a shark would swim by and eat him. All his problems would be solved then. Sadly, his third cousin would inherit the title. Tutor, as he preferred to be called, was a complete nincompoop. Lockwood would wrestle the bloody shark with his bare hands to prevent that travesty from coming to pass.
"I thought you had forgotten about me,"
she said, nibbling his earlobe. "Say something. Tell her she's mistaken you for someone else." Christ, she felt good. When her bare quim met his lower back, his mouth went dry, and he began contemplating the practicalities of naked depravity on a beach. Better if she remained on her hands and knees so that no one would find sand in unfortunate places. Now was the...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?